And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, June 27, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to be with Doug Newsom as always, and we are going to explain a little bit about what's going on in the world. What is about the Brexit that everybody's speaking about? What is the influence of England on the stock market? And what is the state of affair with the US and all the other news that come up from Rome today? It's not easy to, to switch and just check what's in play, but the world has changed as of Friday morning. The world has changed because England decided to exit from the European Union. It's a major move. It's a major move because it's influenced all of us. It's make us all think about liberty and what it means to be in control of whatever happens to you. And nobody can blame anybody in this world because all the things happen for a reason, as we say in the believer world, because it's all come from God. And the referendum to exit from the European Union was really, really close. It was 52% to 48%. It means that the rain that stopped many people from going to vote because it was a rainy day too, probably had something to do with a few votes. Just imagine, there was a vote to get out of whatever they were accustomed to the next level. And I want to say my thing because they were saying that all the youngster wanted to stay with the European Union and all these but goodies, as usual, wanted to go out. And why is that? Because they remember England like she was before, when she was a sovereign, when she was in control. You see, when you go to a team and you play on one, you think that this is your team and that's how you play it, right? Let's assume that in 1975, when they actually had that court, they had another referendum with Margaret Thatcher that they wanted to exit the European Union. They have already a problem. But then they add a few new members, and every member created another problem. And after you bring the strong players like France, Germany, England, Holland, Wales. You play together with the strong ends, and then all the addition are softer players, like Greece that had problem, like Spain that never stop having a problem. So you see the change, the game was changed in England. So you cannot blame them for exiting, and you cannot blame European Union from trying to keep them together. And they did everybody play by their own rules. But in the midst of everything, sometimes going back and holding your own makes sense. And when you're a sovereign nation like England that has a record of exceptional record in history, let's give it to her. It's not like one country that passed, by, all right, she's in, she's out, who cares? No, this is England. And what happened with the stock market just demonstrate to you what crisis the world were facing. But no, there is no reason to be alert. It's only going to be better. Because now England is going to take charge of one portion. She is in control. Because remember, it's like a big boat that you attach to it a lot, another luggage, another, trailer, whatever. You drag along so much weight, and the captain is not really doing a good job because there were a lot of little boats coming and hanging there, and the jumping ship, because there is refugees and people thinking, you know, coming together to this European Union will solve their life problem. And England wasn't happy with that. She wanted to be in control, and I'm all for that. I said that before because I know how Europe is and how great continent it is. And I know England has its own power, and sometimes when you divide the forces, you can make sense of all the rest. So let's start with some news to tiptoe in what's going on.
When the UK and the EU tied the knot, they vowed to stay together in sickness and in health. But this is one marriage which has not been all that harmonious. There have been blazing rows about whether Britain should pack its bags, hit the road, and go it alone. Key issues that have brought them to the doors of the divorce courts? Well, for a start, Britain turned its back on the Schengen Free Travel Zone, which is one of the pillars of the European Union. It absolutely turned its nose up at the idea of replacing its currency, the pound sterling, with the euro. To keep the EU's cogs greased and turning costs huge amounts of money, but Britain finds the £20 billion annual fee difficult to swallow. While being part of a big European family brings safety in numbers when it comes to defence and common strategy, many in the UK would happily exchange that for more sovereignty. When Britain walked up the aisle with the EU, it was only marrying into a small family. But over the years, distant relatives have moved into the marital home, and while they've brought skills and experience, it's left Britain to feel things are getting a little too crowded for comfort. And let's not forget about the huge influx of migrants to the EU, which have put a huge strain on this union. While many in the bloc have offered a helping hand, the UK has been keen to pretty much pull up its drawbridge across the English Channel. So perhaps after all these years, this couple have found there's now more that pulls them apart than draws them together.
Okay, that was a little ironic because everybody's using a divorce idea to say that they split. But I really don't second that because I don't see a much of a fight that exists. Maybe inside, or maybe they are too educated, polite to show it. I know that the German are really, really upset. But Angela Merkel did keep the tone and said that, you know, we have to work with everybody. Now, I know that in Texas, there are some people who are calling to separate themselves from America. But I don't think that they will do that. It's not the same thing, guys. You know, England kept her currency. So the sterling is pretty much alive. It's not like in the other European Union members who had to, they gave it up to the Eurozone and they created one currency that was working. Now, for some reason, it seems to me very natural that England separate herself because she's England. That I don't know how to say it, but it was really not natural. And they're talking about borders, and they're talking about what's going to play. Now, let's assume somebody, a big country like England, is separating herself from a deal. It's only a deal, all right? And there are a few other deals that are going to stay in place. They are part of NATO. They are part of the G7. They are part of the G20. There are all other understanding that England will stay. So they have to count their blessing and not count of what's not going to happen. The only thing that is going to happen, they're going to stop paying their dues because that club was too expensive for them to keep. It's like a membership in the yacht club. You know, sometimes when you have to pay the dues, and it's really good. You know, taking a toll. In the good days, everybody's happy to be a part of a VIP club and blah, blah. but now it become too expensive for England to carry on. And please understand that I'm very much seconding their right to choose, like I always do in any case, because liberty for me is one of the most incredible values that God gave us, like the very, very good example that God present to us all to believe or not to believe. Remember that incredible sentence, to be or not to be, very English. And it's to be is you want to be, you want to carry your own, you want to walk your own. Now, I know that the stock market is going bananas. I know that it crashed everywhere in Europe, but for some reason or another, it's not doing so bad. So maybe people perceive it in a different way. So you never know. You try it, okay? You can create an associate member until you finish all your rules. And then when Article 50, you know, created, was done with, you set the time frame and you let go, all right? Just play nice, people, play nice. Let's listen to some of more, because I know that the Prime Minister Cameron, you know, announced that he's stepping down, very gentleman-like. But he did it for the best reason in the world, for England's sake. Let's listen to that.
Party conference in October. Delivering stability will be important, and I will continue in post as Prime Minister with my cabinet for the next 3 months. The cabinet will meet on Monday. The governor of the Bank of England is making a statement about the steps that the bank and the treasury are taking to reassure financial markets. We will also continue taking forward the important legislation that we set before Parliament in the Queen's speech. And I've spoken to Her Majesty the Queen this morning to advise her of the steps that I'm taking. A negotiation with the European Union will need to begin under a new Prime Minister. And I think it's right that this new Prime Minister takes the decision about when to trigger Article 50 and start the formal and legal process of leaving the EU. I will attend the European Council next week to explain the decision the British people have taken and my own decision. The British people have made a choice that not only needs to be respected, but those on the losing side of the argument, myself included, should help to make it work. Britain is a special country. We have so many great advantages. A parliamentary democracy where we resolve great issues about our future through peaceful debate. A great trading nation with our science and arts, our engineering and our creativity, respected the world over. And while we are not perfect, I do believe we can be a model of a multiracial, multi-faith democracy where people can come and make a contribution and rise to the very highest that their talent allows. Although leaving Europe was not the path I recommended, I am the first to praise our incredible strengths. I've said before that Britain can survive outside the European Union, and indeed that we could find a way. Now the decision has been made to leave, we need to find the best way. And I will do everything I can to help. I love this country, and I feel honoured to have served it. And I will do everything I can in the future to help this great country succeed. Thank you very much.
All right, that was Friday when the result of the referendum came out. And when he spoke about Monday, it's today. They're supposed to meet and give a notice for Article 50. That's what they call it when they want to split. Now, Article 50 was added to the play just a few years back because, you know, the EU was set up like Hotel California. You can get in, but you can never leave. But now it seems like Article 50 is a trigger mechanism that give you 2 years time frame to leave and settle. Now, there is comma that says or else, like, you know, in every good contract, you got one word that can change the all value. If you pay attention, Article 50 actually call to extend in time in case it's needed and in case they agree upon. And if people want to play nice, they don't have to adhere to 2 years. But for the best of everybody, you know, you just cut it loose fast and move on. That's what everybody thinking. It's not easy, but there are people that actually believe that it's England Independence Day. Let's listen to Nigel Farage, if we can.
Activities and their work into the euro area. So they want David Cameron to pause. They've asked for calm and they've asked for some calm, yeah.
Let's just listen to Nigel Farage speaking outside the House of Commons.
United Kingdom. And just look at it. Even the weather's improved. It's been a hell of a long journey, this. I first got involved in Eurosceptic politics 25 years ago, and the first election I contested, I managed to beat the late, great, screaming Lord Such by 164 votes, so I didn't come last. And now there are 17 million people that voted for Brexit. It's a victory for ordinary people, decent people. It's a victory against the big merchant banks, against the big businesses, and against big politics. And I'm proud of everybody that had the courage, in the face of all the threats, everything they were told, they had the guts to stand up and do the right thing. The election was won, in my view, in the Midlands and the North, and I think it was the old Labour vote that came to us, and we, particularly as a party, campaigned as hard as we could in those areas. There is still a massive disconnect between Westminster, SW1 and real communities. And the one image I will remember throughout the rest of my life was a woman in Bolton grabbing my hands with tears in her eyes saying, why doesn't David Cameron, why doesn't the government come and see what they've done to my community, what they've done to the prospects for my kids? People here don't understand. They're too wealthy. They don't get what open door mass immigration as a result of EU membership has done to people's wages, to people's availability of getting GP appointments or their kids into local schools. This was the issue ultimately that won this election. So I'm thrilled that we've done this. I believe the other big effect of this election is not what's happened in Britain, but what will happen in the rest of Europe. I mean, in the rest of the EU, Eurosceptic parties never talked about leaving the EU, now they are. An opinion poll in the Netherlands said that a majority there now want to leave. So we may well be close, perhaps, to Nexit. And similarly in Denmark, a majority there are in favour of leaving, so we could be quite close to Dexit. And I'm told the same may apply to Sweden and perhaps Austria and perhaps even Italy too. The EU's failing, the EU's dying. I hope we've knocked the first brick out of the wall. I hope this is the first step towards a Europe of sovereign nation states, trading together, neighbours together, friends together, but without flags, anthems, or useless old unelected presidents. So what happens now? What happens next? Well, 70 million people have said we must leave the European Union. We now need a Brexit government. A government that gets on with the job. A government that begins the renegotiation of our trade relationship. A government that will be mindful that already many of the German car manufacturing unions have said, let's get on and do a deal. Let's go on buying, selling motor cars and wine and cheese with each other. But a government also that at the same time uses the opportunity of Brexit. And the opportunity is we're now freed to start making our own trade deals and associations with the rest of the world. We've left behind with this result. We've left behind a failing political union. We've given ourselves the chance to rejoin the world in a 21st century global economy. So we need, as I say, a Brexit government. We need the negotiations to start as soon as humanly possible. We need to start thinking globally about our future. And the other thing I think that needs to happen is that June the 23rd needs to become a national bank holiday, and we will call it Independence Day.
That was great. It means that today, 27th of June 2016, it's the new Independence Day for the liberated England. Now, England has passed in world history as one of the most incredible countries in the world. And I'm telling you, from the side of the Jewish state, they have everything to do with the creation of the Jewish state, from the Balfour Declaration in 1917 to the mandate for Palestine, which was really hard for them to carry because the people that was in charge were actually under a lot of scrutiny from the Arab neighbor, and it wasn't easy. And as one understand it, I think that we need to commemorate, you know, this 100 year that are going to come next year for the Balfour Declaration. And England is a true amazing country that gave, you know, us so much to learn from. And she's like America. She's incredible from the time of the Second World War with Churchill fighting against all odds. And, you know, giving it the personal cost, he stand and he did everything possible to fight what they were thinking that was bad. And today they're fighting again, and they woke up and they wanted to know. Now, we do know that, you know, the most incredible thing, people didn't understand what is the European Union. Until a few days ago, it's like they were a part of it, but they didn't understand. There were one of the jokes that were saying that most people, the most elaborated question on the Google was, what is the European Union? People were asking. Now, giving them the chance to withdraw will mean that the rest of them needs to play nice, just to fill up. They have like 10% of the parliament, of the European Parliament, is made by England. So they will need to reset it on a different level within the 2 years. Come on. We all know that there are cooperation, operation, organization that come together and dismantle. It's not, there is like the got together, you can go away. Not a big deal, okay? The important thing is, now that we are talking, the important thing is to set the economy on. We need to have massive, massive action. And from here, I want to send my best to our incredible guru, Tony Robbins, that was inspirational, influential in my life, and he makes so many winners and a glorious moment, and we need him in this time. And I know that there were a situation where people were going, you know, I'm opening a big parenthesis here just to tell you the story, what happened. There was a story about people trying to go on to walk on charcoal, and they got burned. Because Tony Robbins is such an inspiration that he made them walk. But the problem is, you know, there is a God and it's not us. And even the Tony Robbins is the greatest man and inspirational and movement to action. Sometimes God has his joke too. So Tony Robbins, please, best regards to you. Come to shake us up here in, you know, in the England reinventing herself again, and in European taking control back the continent, you know, to a better places. Because what we need right now is massive action, like Tony Robbins will say to you, massive, massive action for the economy. Because this trigger of the Wall Street, you know, I don't feel sorry for that. Okay, let's say that They come, anytime you play with your money in the roulette of the Wall Street, you will have a day. It's like Las Vegas. You want to play with it, it's your deal. Nothing is for sure. And that's that day that you feel that you're all sure, even Mr. Soros wasn't bidding against the sterling. You won in another segment, but you wasn't bidding that what they were announcing today. You need to know that there is a day to everything, okay? So play it right, play modest, keep it right, and all the richness in the world can vanish in poof. One poof, one big poof, and it's all over. What can we do? That's his life. That's his life. So massive action, that's what we need. We need to create an organization that will generate work. Now, the work that we are providing right now is not good enough because everybody is sitting by the computer. Many of them don't have the equipment. They don't know what to do. And frankly, if you check any teenager, you know how much they know and you are lacking, right? So our old-fashioned good work must come to play. We need to reinvent ourselves. We need to take control back our continent. For example, energy, pollution, the plants. Anybody gave some thought about what's going on in the pollution and what they're doing to our planets, as far as not, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, the planet is eating and now it's going to melt. I'm not there yet because I know that life is bigger than our prediction. But I'm saying about plants. You see, people are consuming those plants that have been irrigated by a lot of water that is polluted. And that generates sickness. And if anybody will tell you that they care about the environment, they can point about, they can point to your trees. And I know that in Italy they care about it a lot. There are bugs that eat, for example, the olives. And once you talk about it, you can start understanding that we decided to cut all human activity as far as, whatever service or we can, or anything that humanly is given to us, we decided we can do less and less than this. It's like the story of the old donkey. That that guy was walking, you know, with him in the field and make him eat less and less and less. He said, "Wow, you eat less. Let's try to see how less he can eat." And then he dies. You see, we need to put back human to work in the old-fashioned way, because plants do grow the old-fashioned way if we want it or not. Building has been built by people the old-fashioned way. We didn't invent anything there. And there are a lot of trades like tailoring that God, everything becomes so cheap and nasty and ugly. You know, Italian work disappear almost because everything is cheap. And that's one reason that, for example, that the Brits were really, really mad, because they got Chinese goods inside, infiltrating inside their country, couldn't put tariff on them because the deal was with the European Union and they didn't control it. So there were a lot of things that we overlooked, and we just pretend that we don't need them, but we do. And that's why we created such a labor force that is unemployed. So many people that are employed around, so many refugees. Look at those countries that we need to build. And who is disturbing us? One guy, for example. We have one guy in Syria that disturb, you know, the whole population. He's in charge for ruins of a country, and all these people are elsewhere looking for some help. Let's get some music, and we'll be back after that.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
All right, and that was a good old song that said, you know, if I can put time in a bottle. And this is the time in history that I do need to write upon, because it's that moment of change. And the filter of what is right and what is wrong is changing from every speaker to speaker across the universe, because whatever they see from there, of course, it's not what we see from here. And England is important. The truth of the matter, we all love England in some form. It's the one that gave us a lot of soccer, a lot of good football, where, you know, I know that they have an incredible team there, and they give us a lot of inspiration. So when they do something amazing, like, you know, breaking out. Now think, breaking out from the big mama, Germany and France, it's not easy. But I can tell you something. They didn't like the fact that those people who run the show were not elected officials. It wasn't a democracy. So it was like a dictatorship in some sort of way, because they were the club, the VIP club that ran the universe, as far as they're concerned, because that universe even told everybody else what to do. It's not that the European Union. No, I'm not making accounts. Okay, let's give it to them. I'm not playing, because I know that Italy. The day after I visited her. After they joined the European Union, was a very devastating place for me. I was like completely beside myself when I realized that Italy was changed, because all the rules got changed. So let's say I have no account with the European Union, as far as, you know, I want to pay back. But I'm saying, they're trying to play with so many cards that are not there to play. Let's assume we have a situation where in the Middle East, you know, there is an incredible fight about the land that the European know about, of course, you know, the land that used to be called Palestine, right? The Palestinian and the people of the land that's part of it, they see themselves as the owner of the land, but the truth of the matter is Palestine was a changed name of the land, the Holy Land of Israel. Now it's changed, it's a fact, because you had two, it's biblical, you can't take it from us. You have a land that was conquered by the Roman, not the Italian, Roman, all right? And they changed the name to Palestine, and they throw all the Jews out of it. And they said, okay, this is over. It's not yours anymore. We changed the name. Now, the people that stayed behind, because they weren't Jews, said, okay, now it's ours. Well, it's not yours. Let's assume we are sharing it, but it's not yours, that's for sure. So now when we got demanded for Palestine, it was the Palestine was the land for the Jewish people to have a homeland. It's written. It's written in Article 181 of the United Nations. It's written in the Balfour Declaration 1917. And it's been reiterated again and again in San Remo in 1923. The problem was that the Arab nation did not like the Jewish people to come and, you know, be in the mix, let's say, the truth. They don't like the Jewish religion at all. They don't agree that it exists at all. They claim that it wasn't part of it. And it doesn't matter if it's alien for them. The fact is that we do exist, okay? fact is that we have a Bible. We have our history. It's, if you don't want to recognize us, it's not our problem. It's your problem. But we still own that land. Now, the European decided that they like the Arab. The British mandate was one, and they decided to change it. Now, the European Union decided to make a very nice gesture. Let's make peace in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinian. Now, it's not like this. We're going to shove it through your throat because we are going to organize. Listen to this. We're going to have a Paris Convention, Paris International Conference about you guys, but you are not invited. You understand? It's like you're talking about somebody who get punished. You don't invite them to the room. You say, how bad is the punishment? It's like, first of all, who are you to decide what we want to do? And France, I love Paris. I love French people too very much. I love French food too. But you guys were over your head. Because in one end, you decided, I'm going to be there. They're saying they're going to be the arbitrators. Because America, all of a sudden, America that wasted all our money, all our effort in the Middle East. Money, tons of money to liberate Iraq. Now she's not good enough to make the negotiation between the Palestinians. Like, excuse me? And, you know, they are my friends, they're my buddy, they're my mom and pop, let's say. Why you're excluding America and Paris is the one in charge all of a sudden? It's like a bully. And in the same token, they are going to build in Iran, you know, the lover of Israel, in Iran, a plant. To create, to make some new automotive cars for the Iranian, like Citroën, like Peugeot. Yeah, they're going to build it in Iran. But they're going to make peace in Israel. So, as we say, give us a break, will you? You back off because you ain't good enough to run our show. And you ain't good enough to run anybody's show at this point. You know, sometimes you need to take care of your own. That's how we roll. Let's say that. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
On both sides, stability means also stability within the European Union and amongst the 27 member states. And I want to repeat what was described in the settlement, which is now null and void. After the decision of the British voters, both sides should respect mutually their different views. Now the United Kingdom decided to leave, and therefore the member states who remain in the European Union must discuss how to improve the European Union and how to protect, especially the Eurozone countries, how to protect the Eurozone in the next coming month, to protect against what is happening already now with the pound, what is already happening on the international markets. In that time, we are entering in turbulent times. We need stability, and that's what I hope what will be the outcome of the next meetings of the Council, of the European Parliament, of the Commission, and of the meeting just ahead. And I think after the meeting of the four presidents, we will report to you in a more intensive way what are the next necessary and foreseeable steps. Thank you very much.
All right, some more input from about the European Union and the Brexit situation. I promise you music. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that. All right, you guys. Well, you know, I don't like to be tied up to liberty is so important. And, you know, even they will ask for many reasons, but I'm sure that the European Union will be okay and the English people will be happy after that. And even though that, you know, John Kerry had some comments in regards, listen to it.
The vote did not come out the way President Obama and I and others hoped that it would, but that's democracy, and we respect the rights of the voters and we respect the process. So it is now incumbent on leaders to implement the will of the people and to do so in a way that is responsible, sensitive, thoughtful, and I hope strategic. I think it's important to note that ever since World War II, we have been working, all of us together, on the development of a structure to be able to make our country stronger and to be able to deliver a good life benefits to our people. The interests and the values which have united us for such a long period of time, did not change on the day of that vote. Now, it is critical as we go forward in these next days to understand the importance of a strong EU. The United States cares about a strong EU. Why? Because there isn't one issue on which we work today, whether it's climate change or whether it's counterterrorism, migration, immigration, you name it. We are working together. And it's through the strength of those countries coming together that we are able to make good things happen.
All right. Good things happen. And John Kerry, we love you. He always such a great guy. I wish he was like the pick for the president, but if not, at least a vice president of the USA, so we can keep him working. God, would we have a good one we never get enough of, right? Anyway, it's important to understand that America did not predict that, or they had to any influence on that. They were just hoping for, you know, everybody play nice like they always do, and you see the comments that they have in regard that stated that they will respect anything that they decide, and which is honorable. So that is the free world. We have to manage it together, and we want to take responsibility. Now, John Kerry was visiting today in Rome, Italy, to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu in regard to the Paris Agreement, and also to help finish the saga, the six-year saga with Turkey, where it started all with a ship that the Turks decided that they're going to push to Gaza, even against that it's still a war zone, because Gaza is basically been run by a terrorist organization named Hamas, and the Turks decided they're going to break the siege, which is against, it's a violation of international law, because you cannot do that if you have a state of war. And but by all means, they were upset and they were fighting, and the Israelis say, okay, go, you know, it doesn't matter, let's make peace, which is what we're supposed to do, all make peace. So they met and they finished with it. They're going to compensate them with $20 million, which the Turks feel it's lousy $20 million. And the Israelis say, are you crazy? They come and attacked us. Now, this is going to be painful for Netanyahu, because Netanyahu overreached for the Israeli public. They don't like that. So it's going to be not easy for them here. But I'm hoping and I'm sure that something else in the news will come out to make them all forget about it, right? As we always know. Now, I want to remind you, this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm telling you that life is good, and I'm telling you that God is great. So please, please, if you have a question, if you want a blessing from the Holy Land, if you want us to pray for you, just send me a note, all right? Send me a note on BBS Radio, Orly Benny Davis. I'll be happy to pray for you, and I'm happy to help you in any way I can to make your life better, because we are here at BBS Radio. It's the radio for the people, by the people, and we're making it happen every day. So this economy of ours, we're going to take control of it, and we're going to shake the world once or more. And we avoided the World War III in this round, and we're going to make this world prosperous under one God. It doesn't matter if, you know, on Temple Mount today they shoved rocks, you know, in the Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, they throw rocks on Jewish people just because they are nasty like this, because they are nasty to devastate a holy site. It doesn't matter, because tomorrow they'll be goner. Because God gave us the opportunity to be good. The people that are bad will vanish. Not vanish, you know, like poof, like you think. You know, their way will vanish. Because the way of the wicked is short. You know, you never saw somebody who's great that walked that was actually bad. You can't. You have to choose side. And if our world is getting better and better, it's because our people are better. Even that they have shortcoming, remember, every righteous person has his shortcoming to remind him that it's not God. But every time he wakes up and gets up again, like Tony Robbins, he's going to be okay, even after the chuckle. All right, you guys, let me salute you with a great song that I love, and from me to you with all my love. God bless you all. And viva England. God bless you, England, for choosing to be free. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao. And next week we have 4th of July. Yes.